Sometimes, the best parts of festivals are the discussions that surround them, reflections on what we did and heard, anticipation of what's to come, and processing what it all means in relation to our spiritual work. We wanted to help either introduce you to that phenomenon or extend it for you. That's what this is about. I'm Reverend Jana Vende.
And I'm Reverend Michael J. Dane. We're priests of Arnriach Fane and members of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. We're recording these sessions actually live in cars, actually going to festivals and events, so you will hear road noise, turn signals, and navigation prompts, but that's part of what makes it fun.
So, sit back and enjoy Druids
in cars
going to festivals.
In this episode, we talk about what it's like to find comfort in our skin as clergy, as initiates, and even as Grove members. We discuss a lot of the practicalities of inclusion, where responsibility for it lies, and how to reach out if you don't feel included, or if you can't find your role in a group or Grove. This episode was recorded on the Wage at the 2018 ADF Trillium Spring Gathering, and it was an early discussion between Rev Avende and myself. So come take this journey with us, and listen as we head out to one of the classic ADF festivals.
Yeah, I think I'm starting to feel more comfortable in my clergy skin.
You know, it's good, because you can't really take that off. It sloughs a little bit.
No, but I mean, I'm not feeling like this initiate who is masquerading as clergy. I think I've found my own self within my clergy skin now.
Well, that's good. I think the process might have been a little bit longer for you than it is for some other folks. Not just because you came from initiation, but there were administrative things that went along with that.
I also think because you and I are in the same grove, and you are very much a priest,
yep,
and have been for a very long time in our grove, that for a while there, I had no idea where I fit as a priest. I had no idea what I was supposed to do. I didn't want to step on your toes. There was a lot of finding my own space, my own jobs, and my own flavor,
yeah,
of priesthood, separate from what you do.
Yeah, well, and I think that we also probably had a bit of a stroke of luck that my wife had twins, and
I became a priest all, yeah, within a few months.
You got to de facto it for a little while there, because there was, you were the person I was able to turn to do that, which was good. But the other thing that is worth noting is that I think that everybody takes time to slide into that clergy skin, as you say, to find their place in it, because it's not easy and obvious,
no,
especially when you start.
And I think part of that is the, you get kicked over that threshold of,
yeah,
ordination, and it takes a while to reintegrate after an experience like that.
It does, and, you know, in our situation, it was complicated by the fact that, you know, there wasn't a clear place for a second priest.
No.
But, by that same token, and I will say this to anyone that I ever need to say it to, I think that it is incumbent on the senior priest, the one who has been there longer, not necessarily older, not necessarily more highly ranked, but the one who's been there longer, to find a way to make space and to give space for a new priest to come in. And I think that's true of the larger clergy council as well.
I would absolutely agree with that.
We have to find a way, always, it is incumbent on those of us who have been there longer to welcome new priests, to bring them into the,
to make space for them,
yes,
to allow them to find their own passions and their own jobs.
And not just to allow them in and go hands off and say, okay, good luck. Find
no,
out what you're good at.
If we're not helping mentor them, then we are doing a disservice to them.
We are. We are actively harming them if we do not reach out and say, hey, is there anything I can help with? If you don't feel like you have a place, can we work on finding you a thing to do? That sort of stuff. And there is probably also a bit of a responsibility for everyone to make that effort when they see people, particularly within the body of the clergy or within the body of their grove, to sort of help map that out for them. But it is particularly incumbent on those who have been there to watch out for newer members. We're probably going to face a situation in the near future where we have older members of our order, and by that I just mean people who've been around longer, not necessarily older in age, but people who've been around longer who are having trouble finding out where they fit as well. And it's important for younger priests to notice that, or newer priests to notice that, and to help with that and to reach out where they can. But again, I think this is the main issue is always going to be making sure that new priests feel welcome so that they then have the space and the experience to help longer-term priests when they run into those same problems down the road.
Especially as the longer-term priests, as their vocation changes,
yep,
and they might need to find some other way to fulfill that call within them. Or as the older priests move from place to place, maybe, and need to reintegrate.
Yeah. I mean, we have had priests come into our grove from other areas,
mm-hmm,
and it is, well, at the time I was the priest in the grove, it was my responsibility to say, okay, well, what can we do to help you integrate or reintegrate to return to service in the way that you want to do it, those kinds of things. That was kind of a thing that we needed to do.
I think it's especially incumbent on the, in that case, the more long-term priest in our grove.
Yes.
Which was you, especially incumbent on them, because I was a member of the laity at the time, and it was a very hard transition to go from having the one priest who you were used to having to suddenly there's these two priests and this new priest is taking on all these jobs and you're like, whoa, what are you doing? So it's incumbent on the older priest in that case to not only make space for the new priest for them, but also to model to the other members of their grove or the other members of their community that this person is able to take on these responsibilities. They are capable. I trust them and I'm letting them do them.
Building trust and providing legitimacy, really, for those credentials, because everyone who comes into the clergy council in ADF, I know what they've been through, I know what they've done, I know their body of work reasonably well. The question then is, if they have done all of those things, why wouldn't I trust them? And so every new priest who comes on, I try to understand them as an equal within the council. Now, the problem tends to arise when someone who hasn't been through all of that work, a member of the laity, sees a person come in who then is essentially treated as an equal by your long-term priest, but they don't see the evidence of it. They can't see the evidence of it. And yeah, I think you're right. It is absolutely incumbent on us to ensure that this person has our full trust. This is why they have our full trust. We want to be clear and consistent on that also.
And I think that's not only for like a current priest who moves into a new community, but also for a priest who was laity in their own community and became a priest, which, I mean, we did get lucky when, yep, I was ordained, because you had to step back.
Yep.
And you conveyed that you trusted me to take over those things.
Yep.
And so that conveyed to everyone else that, yes, this is a thing that can happen.
And I will be honest, I'm not sure how that would have gone if I hadn't had to step back. Because I hadn't thought about it, not really in those same terms. I mean, when Aaliyah had come in from afar, that was one type of experience,
transition,
type of transition. When Seamus came in earlier, that coincided with him as senior druid, so I had already made some room there. And so, yeah, I don't know what it would have been like necessarily if I had not thought about it intentionally.
Yeah, it's something that I think about occasionally, because we've got a couple of folks in our grove who are, like, pre-clergy right now,
yeah.
and are working through that, and so some of the times I think about, well, where are the places where there's more work to go around, and the answer is there's always more work to go around. But finding those spaces and having a plan to encourage them to fill those spaces, I think is important.
And, I mean, our grove has been actually very good about this. We've had how many grove bards at this point?
Four.
Yeah, so we have managed to pass on those things. No one holds those offices for forever, which is really nice. And I think that we have actually developed, probably unintentionally, but luckily, a way of helping people transition and move.
And we've cultivated a culture of transitioning leadership.
Yes.
We have this culture of whatever your job is, make sure you're preparing someone else to take over after you, because otherwise our grove will stagnate.
Right. Trees that are not watered wither. And groves that don't plant new trees don't become groves. There's nothing to hold back the wind if you have no other plants beside you. And so I think that's been a key thing, is trying to find ways to really kind of push that and make sure that we're not accidentally locking people out. Because it's easy to do that, especially in a grove. It is really, really easy to not pass on leadership roles, to fall prey to the idea of no one else wants to do it, which is not usually actually the case. It can be. Sometimes it is. I've known groves that have had one senior druid for a very long time, and they can't get anyone to take over for them. But I consider it a mark of the success of our grove that we have managed to spread out, even when people didn't necessarily want to do stuff.
Somebody stepped up. Somebody stepped up to do it. I think there's also one of the things to consider is you need to be willing to let go of what was originally your pet project.
Oh, yeah.
And let other people in on that. Let other people take ownership of it. I know that was one of the big things that I think I've finally gotten over feeling, because you started doing druid in the Dark Grove, mm-hmm. and it was your thing.
Yep.
And I think I've finally gotten over the hump of being like, oh no, I'm taking something from you that is yours, and I'm doing that when you're not there. And I think I've finally gotten to the point where it's like, no, this is a thing that is our groves.
Yes.
And because it is our groves, it is a thing we do as a group together.
Here's the funny thing. I never considered it mine. I mean, it's all Gaulish, which is true, but when I look at it, I say, oh, this is the thing that we put together as a grove. I may have written all the ritual for it, but this is something that we came to through discussion, through work, through a little bit of argument, and all that kind of healthy stuff. And it worked out, I think, really well. So it's funny sometimes when I hear you say that, because I'm like, this is totally not my gig, man. It's totally not my gig. But I understand it, too. Like, if you had had me taking over your Hellenic full moons, I would almost certainly feel exactly the same way. A lot of olive oil.
A lot of olive oil. A little bit of wine.
A little bit of wine. I don't even like wine.
That's where you use proto wine. You use juice.
Proto wine. But I think the key thing, and I hope the thing that has helped you most, is that we have always aimed to ensure that people feel welcome, and that, you know, it's not anyone's baby, it's not anyone's, you know, it's not anyone's particular show. It's not the Mike show, it's not the Mike and Joe show, it's not the Mike and Jan show, and I think that has been the key help. But the thing that I think I most want to tell people anytime I talk about this stuff is that there is always someone there to help, and hopefully someone reaches out to you to help you on this. But if not, then you should always expect that if you reach out to them, they will meet you where you are and they will help. Because that is what we're supposed to be there for. On the clergy council, we're there to help other priests. On the initiate council, we're there to help other initiates. In the Grove, we're there to help other Grove members. I think that's the key thing that I always try and make sure that people understand. And if someone doesn't meet you halfway, reach out to somebody else who will.
Yeah. There's always someone who will help, but they might be feeling shut out.
Yes.
And so it's your job to make sure that they are welcomed in and are able to feel as though they are a valuable and perhaps indispensable part of that.
Because most likely, they are both of those things, both invaluable and indispensable. Because, frankly, a grove is not a grove without a bunch of trees.
Thanks for listening, and there's more to come.
We welcome your ideas and questions. If there's something that you'd like to hear us discuss in a future episode, please drop us a line at druidsincars@threecranes.org.
If you would like to donate, you can do so at threecranes.org/donate.
Druids in Cars Going to Festivals is a production of Three Cranes Grove ADF in Columbus, Ohio. Learn more about our grove at threecranes.org and more about Druidry at ADF.org.
As always, keep circulating the tapes and let us pray with a good fire.